Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We have been in the midst of Set Free September. Today, we're going to look at shaking foundations. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for our time with you and in the Scriptures. Thank you for taking care of all of the things that press on us as we go about our daily lives, that you take care of those so that we can just spend time with you, and spend time with your Scriptures, spend time letting your Spirit minister to us, that we may be exhorted, that we may be encouraged, and that we may be elevated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we've been doing a little series on being set free, and we've looked at several things, but today we're going to look at maybe one of my favorite, I'll say stories, you know what I mean by that, one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. We're in the book of Acts, and this is when Paul and Silas had been taken into prison. I'm going to just kind of go through it quickly because there's so much in here. It's so rich, we could do it in two separate episodes, but we'll try to get through it in one. Okay, so we are in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had been doing good. They had been setting people free. They had been healing. They had been teaching. And, of course, whenever you do good, it upsets somebody. So they had been taken into custody. And verse 23 says, "The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates, see, to please the politicians, to please the crowds, they tore off their clothes. They commanded them to be beaten." Verse 23 kind of starts our story. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison." And I want you to realize already, we see their health is already compromised. These are not soldiers or warriors. These are just a couple of folk, an old man going around preaching, and they've already been beaten, and they are thrown into prison. Verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe." I want you to mark two special words in there, charging and safely. Charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, that is the jailer, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Their feet are bound, so they certainly aren't going anywhere. They are in the inner prison. That means that's like if it's like a like a hole in the ground, then out the most outside place would be the inner part. There's no light getting in. It's not like they had a window and they could keep track of the sun, and that becomes important. It's in the inner prison, and they had put them in the inner prison, and then he made their feet fast in the stocks. Okay, remember Paul? Peter. They gave the governor gave them 4 quadrillions. That's 4 times 4, 16 of them to guard them. Here they are in the inner prison. Now I want to point out that thing of he gave the jailer charge over them. And I just always, when we think of that, having been given this charge, I don't care who's been given charge over you. The scriptures tell us that God has given his angels charge over us. So if you're going to put a jailer and an angel together, I think we know who has more power. One has been given one charge and the other had been given another charge. But here's what I want you to understand, too. We marked that thing safely. They were cast into the prison, and they were told, keep them safe. All right? Just remember that. We'll get back to it. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. It doesn't say all night long. It didn't say up until midnight. It says at midnight. Now, maybe they did sing praises and pray all night long. That's very possible and probably very likely. But remember, they're in the inner prison. They can't see the sky. They have no idea when it's midnight, do they? But the scriptures say at midnight. So we have to mark that midnight. That midnight becomes very important to us, that they were singing and praying at midnight. And the prisoners heard them. They kept their testimony up even when it seemed like all was turned against them. Verse 26, here we go. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. These two men had done nothing but good, but they were beaten and thrown into prison. Sometimes the reason you are where you are isn't because you've done something bad. It may be for good. God's people, blessed are those who persecute you for my name's sake. If you're being persecuted because you're just contrary or troublesome, well, that's different. But if you're being persecuted for his name's sake, there's a blessing in that. And there's a charge by the angels over you. The jailer had been given charge. They were put in the prison to keep them safe. I want you to stop and think about that. That the reason God allowed them to go into the prison was not punishment, but number one, to keep them safe, and number two, to be heard of all the other prisoners. Paul couldn't have gotten into that prison to talk to all of those prisoners if he'd have just asked for permission, but he was a prisoner in there along with them. Sometimes we're held in uncomfortable places to keep us alongside those that God would have us reach out to. Sometimes we don't want to be. Sometimes it seems like it's binding us, like we're chafing against it. But that is the way that they were heard. So two reasons. Number one, to keep them safe. And number two, so they could be heard of all the prisoners. Now, the prisoners all heard something, and now the prisoners are all going to feel something, and then all the prisoners are going to see something. And that's sometimes how it is. We need to hear God first, and then we feel something, and then we see something. Amen. But we need to hear first. So they heard them at midnight. I want to stop and talk about the midnight for a moment. You see, they were there, and they prayed and sang at midnight. Well, first off, the Greeks kept their time frame differently than we do, as did the Jews, as did most of the world at this time. And so for the Jews, it was from sunset to sunset. But this marks midnight. So this really speaks to us. What is midnight? Midnight can't mean the same thing to us as it meant to them, because they didn't keep a midnight, did they? There was no 12 o'clock. There were the hours, and it went from sunset to sunset. Midnight, for us, is that time that marks a change. Oh, in one way, I should save this to the last. Maybe I will. No, I won't. Midnight is when that things change. When Monday becomes Tuesday, all right? When night becomes day. It is that time of change. It is when yesterday becomes tomorrow. It is when things that were become things that will be. There comes a point in your life, you may not even be aware of it. Paul and Silas had no idea that it was midnight. They were shut off from seeing the sky. They had no idea, did they? But there was a midnight. Even when we're not aware of it, there is a midnight. There's a time of change. You may be on the losing end, and all of a sudden you're on the winning end. You may be underneath, and all of a sudden you are above. You may be without, and all of a sudden you have abundance. I don't know what that change may be for you, but there comes a time the things that were yesterday have changed, and they are now today. We are living in that tomorrow that we have been waiting for. There came a change at midnight. The things that were have passed away. The things that were to come are right in their midst. There comes a midnight for us. I don't know what you're going through, but there is a midnight when it will change. Amen. And when it was midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, I like this. There are a lot of things in our life spiritually that happen gradually, that happen incrementally, that happened invisibly. But every great once in a while, there is a suddenly. And we all need a suddenly. Don't give up on your suddenly. God didn't promise suddenly, but God definitely still has a suddenly in his arsenal, doesn't he? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prison was shaken. When I began to really see this scripture, when God just opened it up to me, my whole prayer life changed. Most of the time, we might be, if we were where Paul and Silas are, we would be praying. We'd be praying for deliverance. We'd be praying for the chains to fall off. We'd be praying for the doors to be opened. We'd be praying for a way out. We pray all these different prayers. Where every little thing, we have a prayer. But they prayed, and God did one thing. We ask God to do all these different things for us, but there really was only one answer to our prayer. There was only one answer to Paul and Silas's prayer. It wasn't the chains falling off. It wasn't the doors opening. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosened. We wish that all the time. We pray for open doors. We pray for open doors. If we would see that this one event occurred and all the doors were thrown open. I'll get to that later. I want to talk about what it is that God did. What did God do to deliver his children? What did God do to set them free? And we have to remember that, first off, they were in prison not as punishment. They were in prison to keep them safe. There are places you are in your life, maybe at a job, maybe at a certain point in ministry, maybe in certain relationships, maybe some places financially, maybe some places mentally or emotionally, that you are, that God originally put you in there to keep you safe. But there comes a time that that safety becomes a prison. We may go into, say we go, we are in a church that we love, and God led us there because we needed it. We needed to hide in there for safety, and we grew and we learned. But there comes a time that even that safety becomes a prison. And there are times, even theologically, there are things, there are ways we believe, and we believe them so stringently that they actually become abrasive to other people. We believe them because they were safe for us to believe. They kept us from harm, but there comes a point where they become a prison. And so what did God do? It says he sent an earthquake. God sends an earthquake. I learned this. I quit praying for this outcome or that outcome when I'm very serious about something. And I've learned, don't pray this unless you mean it. I pray for there to be an earthquake shaking the foundations. When the foundations were shaken, something happened. Now, I want you to realize that that was a prison of mankind's making, wasn't it? God didn't make that prison. Man made that prison. And they put Paul and Silas in there to keep them safe. But when God shook the foundations, something happened. The Bible tells us that the foundation on which we are built in Christ Jesus, nothing can shake. So the things in my life that can be shaken ought to be shaken. I'm not afraid of a shaking because the things that will remain are of God. Nothing that God has put in my life can be shaken if it is from God. But things that are from the world or from man or from my own making for whatever temporary reasons to keep me out of harm's way, they can be shaken. And when they're shaken, when the foundation is shaken, then something happens. I learned this with prayer. I no longer just pray for God to give me this or God to do that. I pray for God send an earthquake to shake the foundations that can be shaken. I don't pray that unless I'm ready for the earthquake. Amen. Paul and Silas were ready for something to change. They were ready for their midnight. They were ready from their yesterday to become tomorrow. But they were there. There comes a point when we're ready for our midnight, and we're ready to pray that God send the earthquake. And it shook the foundations of the prison. When the foundations were shaken, something phenomenal occurred. What occurred? There was an earthquake. The foundations were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Most of the time for our prayer life, we spend time praying for an open door. God, give me an open door with my family. Give me an open door in a company. Give me an open door in ministry. Give me an open door into one thing or another. The truth is, we shouldn't be praying that way. When God moves in our lives, so many doors, all the doors were open. More to the point, God, don't let me go through an open door that I should not go through. The jailer is ready to kill himself because all the doors flung open, didn't they? All the doors flung open. We should live in such a way that there are doors all around us open. And we need the wisdom, we need the discretion, we need the revelation to know which doors we need to know which doors we should go into and which doors we should not go into. I am more afraid of going into a door I shouldn't than a fear that God can't open a door. I want to live in such a way that there are doors all around me, and I pray, God, give me direction, give me wisdom, give me insight, that I only go through the doors that I am supposed to go through. So here they are. God sends an earthquake. The earthquake shakes the foundation of the prison. It's not just enough to open the door, the very thing it's built on. So much of the time, the things that our prisons are built on are not things that are of God. And when the foundation is wrong and we build on top of it, prisons are man-made. They're built on a foundation. Sometimes they're built on a foundation of fear. Sometimes they're built on a foundation of insecurity. Sometimes our prisons are built on a foundation of lack. Whatever it is, whatever foundation caused us, man builds prisons. Those prisons hold us, but God can just snap his fingers, send an earthquake, and the foundation is shaken. God doesn't have to tear down the prison brick by brick. Remember when the children of Israel came to Jericho, and it was a very odd situation. The army held their peace. They were very quiet, and they marched around 7 days. They marched around once, and on the seventh day, they marched around seven times, speaking of that spiritual perfection. And it says, now most of this, we take, unfortunately, too much of our theology from gospel songs. Some of them are wonderful, some of them are not. My apologies to Mahalia Jackson, but the walls did not come a-tumbling down. When Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, the walls did not tumble down. Go back and read it. It says that the walls fell down flat. Oh, if they had just come a-tumbling down, there would have been a whole bunch of rubble that God's children would have had to climb over to get into their destiny. God doesn't do that to us. When we are in the right position at the right time for our bondage to come into liberty, for our yesterday to become today, when we are at that point of midnight, whenever it may be, when we have marched and hold our peace, the walls don't come down so that we have to scrabble and scramble and struggle to get over that mountain of rubble to get into that city. Rather, the walls fall down flat and they entered in. Go back and look there. I probably guess if I should have thought about that, I'd already looked it up so you could read it. But it says the walls fell down flat and they entered in. Now remember, they were all the way around. So it isn't like they went in through the gate and then everybody could go through the back door. Oh no, they were surrounding it, correct? So when the walls fell down flat, then all the peoples of Israel could all enter in. God doesn't prefer one over another. When deliverance comes, all the doors were open, all the walls fell down flat at Jericho, and everyone entered in, with one exception, didn't it? The one exception was where? It was at Rahab's house, where the red cord was out, and the children of Israel knew to save that house safely. Anyway, so here we are with Paul. And remember, when we see these patterns emerge in the scriptures, then we know that God, the truth of God is in it. That's how God speaks to us. His language is in imagery, is in pictures. We have the same picture of it falling down at Jericho, don't we? We have the same picture here. There was an earthquake. We didn't see angels coming and tearing down the wall brick by brick. There was an earthquake, and so the foundation was shaken. There comes a time sometimes when we have to just be frustrated enough with the prisons that we are in that we're willing to let God shake our foundations. When you're ready for that, you pray that prayer and watch how quickly the walls fall down flat. We don't have to fast and pray and squeeze out for a door to be open, but rather all the doors flung open. Amen. But I want us to look at one other thing here as we're looking at this. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake. It isn't a mild earthquake. It isn't like, was that an earthquake? Was that just a tremor? There was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open. Immediately, it's like the suddenly. There is an immediate, there is a sudden in the things of God. Not always, but don't just get so used to things being gradual, incremental, that we forget that God still has immediately in his vocabulary. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed, everyone's chains. They were held in chains. Remember, their Paul and Silas, their feet were in stocks. Their feet were in bands, in chains. And then, you know, fetters. And then the doors flung open. And I really want to stress this to you. I know that we're looking at the earthquake, but I also want you to understand that we looked at this a couple of weeks ago with Peter, that the chains fell off and the door was open. In that instance, it was just for Peter. The chains fell off of Peter and the door was open. Here again, we see chains or bands, fetters, and the doors open. And I just want us to stop and take a moment or two to reflect on this, to remind you that the God of the door is also the God of the chain. The God of the door is also the God of the chain. Let me explain it like this. We talked before about praying for open doors. How many of us, we pray for open doors of one sort or another? But then we don't also realize, so we can be chained up against the wall and the door across the room flings open and we're all excited because we have an open door, but we can't move because we are still in chains. Even as I said a couple of weeks ago with Peter, the chains are immediate or right on him and the door is a little bit removed. It's external. The chains are internal. The door is external. So it is here. The same thing, the chains, the stocks right on them. And then there is also the door. So much of the time we feel our problem is the locked doors, no opportunity. But many times it is more than that. It is the chains. And by that, I mean the chains on our minds, that we are held captive, we're held prisoner by the chains on our mind. The way we think, the way we look at things, our oftentimes our personality, our attitudes, we limit God to things because of how we've always thought things one way, we've always done things one way. We are imprisoned by those things. There's one of my favorite scriptures that is having difficulty coming to my mind now, but that what we want to blame others for things that haven't happened, but truly we're in bondage by our own mindset. I'll find it another time for you, but it's because of the way we think that we are in bondage, and that's those bonds are on us. And so many times we'll have an open door and we have this illusion. We know God moved and we're celebrating and we're happy, but we can't move through that open door because of the chains on us. But the God of the open door is also the God of the chain. And we need to sometimes not just pray about the open door, but say, God, whatever chains are on me, whatever attitudes, whatever point of view, whatever, you know, I have that's holding me back, God, you know, whatever traditions. Remember, Jesus even said that man's traditions can nullify the word of God. That's kind of powerful when you think about how powerful the word of God is. But he said, you all, talking to the Pharisees, you have made null and void the promises of God by your traditions. And so we sometimes have to be willing to let go of our traditions. A communion can be on something besides First Sunday, and I don't have to wear white. There's nothing wrong with wearing white on Communion Sunday. There's a good reason to. It reminds us of the sacrifice of God. It reminds us of righteousness. It reminds us of the purity of heart in which we should accept communion. But I've learned a lot being a chaplain at hospice. I have given communion, I laugh, I've given communion in a sippy cup because the patient had MS and couldn't drink a regular cup. Okay, there you go. I have done other things that I thought I would never see, but they've happened. And God is honored that communion as much as if it were First Sunday and we were all in white. But there will be somebody who will get their nose out of joint if somebody happens to come in on First Sunday wearing a red dress because they didn't remember it was Sunday. And so, you know, instead of thinking, well, the hussy's wearing red, instead of red is the color of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, but we many times are held in bondage by our traditions or by our mindsets or even by our attitudes. We may think, I only want to go to this kind of place or I only want this kind of job. Well, Paul and Silas did not particularly want to be thrown into prison, especially after they'd already been beaten. But it said all the prisoners heard them. Maybe you're in that tough place because somebody is listening to you. Somebody who would never pray on their own, but they're listening and they're watching. And then they feel the earthquake and all of a sudden they see the doors spring open. But at the same time the doors sprang open, the chains fell off. God is not going to just give us an open door without also helping us with the chains falling off. The God of the door is also the God of the chain. And the way he answers our prayer that comes at midnight, it comes when yesterday becomes tomorrow, when hopelessness becomes hope, when discouragement becomes a miracle, whatever it is, when sickness becomes wellness, when loss becomes gain, when sorrow becomes joy, when ashes become beauty, at that point, at that midnight, God can send an earthquake that will shake the foundations of what we have built to keep us in, to keep us safe, or what man has built to keep us in, to keep us safe. And all the doors swing open, but not only do the doors swing open, the chains fall off. There is no deliverance if all we have is open doors and we still have chains on our heart and chains on our mind. We have chains of unforgiveness. We have chains of sorrow. We have chains of anger. We have chains of tradition. We need to let those fall off so that we can freely walk through the open door. Amen. Well, I just want you to remember in Set Free September that the God of the door is also the God of the change. And when we pray, God, just shake the foundations of my prison, that I truly may be free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one of us, knowing that there are things that have held us back that we need to just lay in front of you and let you shake them up. And if they fall away, well and good. And if they stand, we know they were of you. We know that you are there for us in every situation, even in the most dire, even in the innermost of the prison. You keep us safe, and you have given an angel charge concerning each of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that today can be a day of open doors, a day of falling off chains, that we may truly walk into the liberty you have called us for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior
and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, discovering God's hidden treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him